to Exodus chapter 15 this morning as we continue our study of the names of Jehovah. Jehovah. We've talked about our peace, our shepherd, our banner, and this morning we are talking about our healer. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and read the whole chapter 15, and most of this through verse 21 is just the song of Moses. It's a salvation experience. Aren't you glad that we have a salvation experience ourselves? So as God delivered them from Pharaoh, God has delivered us from the devil. Amen. Exodus 15, beginning of verse 1, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army, he's cast them into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. By the way, if you've got the enemy on your back this morning, you are welcome to read this to him. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Incidentally, anytime you see the right hand in the Old Testament, that's the type of Jesus. Just your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemies in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chief of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab trembling will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them by the greatness of your arm. They will be as still as stone, till your people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over when you have purchased, whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountains of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with the timbrel and with dancing. And Miriam answered them, Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. Praise the Lord. I just couldn't do chapter 15 without reading those first 21 verses. It's a beautiful beautiful hymn, a beautiful song of praise of God's victory. And you know what? They sang it after the parting of the crossing of the Red Sea. But in the New Testament, we learn that we are children of faith. Amen. Amen. We're not children of the flesh. We're the children of the faith. God loved, I didn't plan on saying this, so I don't want to say it wrong. God loved Isaac but hated Jacob. No, I didn't say that. God loved Isaac but hated Esau. There we go. And in that dissertation by Paul in Romans, he's talking about how Isaac is a child of faith, not a child of the flesh. So I said all that to say, we sing our song of victory before the Red Sea, not afterwards. Amen? Because we know the God that parted the Red Sea for Israel is our healer, and we praise Him in advance for what He is going to do. Amen? All right, praise the Lord. Now we're going to pick up the story in verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and then they went into the wilderness of Shur. You know, after we get saved, we begin our wilderness wandering. Between the Red Sea, which is a type of baptism, and the Promised Land, which is a type of heaven, there is a wilderness that we have to go through. And it's part of the test. You may have not thought it was a test when you got saved. You thought you were just going to go right on up into heaven with Jesus. But you got to go to the wilderness first. And so they're traveling through the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Think about it. I don't know. They say, what is it? 3 days without water, right? Isn't that the thing? You know, so many days without food. I don't remember what it was, 30 or 40. 3 days without water. So this is not a small thing. We're talking about the wilderness. We're talking about, Arabia. We're talking about the sun beating down. And they have no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. So here again, we see an interesting typology here of life. I got saved. I got baptized. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going through the wilderness. And then I have challenges that confront me. And sometimes they can be bitter. And they can make me question God's love and God's faithfulness. And their hopes were dashed. Disappointment and frustration came, bitterness. And they begin to do what they always do, and we often do, is complain. So the name of the place was Marah, and the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So, you know, we read these and we just skim over them because it's one verse. But you got to put yourself where old Moses is at right now. They're complaining against him. It's not one, it's not five, it's not 20. We think we have problems. Can you imagine dealing with millions of people ready to lynch you because you brought them out in the middle of a desert and you got no water? And when you find water, you're all disappointed because it's toxic. You can't drink it. You think, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. We needed a general that knew what he was doing. He brought us out here to die. And so poor Moses is got his back against the wall. And so what does he do? He cries out to the Lord. When your back's against the wall, that's what you do. He cried out to the Lord. And the Lord, I love this, showed him a tree. I could start preaching Jesus here, couldn't I? I said I could start preaching Jesus here. The Lord showed him a tree. When your back's against the wall and you don't know what to do, look at the cross of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Say, devil, you about had me, and then the Lord showed me the tree. And I just fastened my eyes on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. Chastisement of peace. And by His stripes I'm healed. The Lord showed him a tree. I don't get to preach very often, but when I get something, I got to hang on to it for a minute. The Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. Hallelujah. The tree of Jesus Christ is the answer to bitter waters. And it will make your life sweet. Hallelujah. The answer to all my problems is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God's life lessons are all about trusting the cross of Jesus Christ. Everything I need in life was paid for at Mount Calvary. Amen. Everything. Everything. If I can just put Jesus in the mix, it's all going to be all right. All right. Continuing on. There He made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there He tested them. And He said, now notice where it's at. It's where the bitter water was made sweet. It's where the Lord showed Him a tree. It was a test. That's what the wilderness is. It's a test. And He says to him, if you will diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight and give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. You know, if we can just make it through the tests, God's got a little oasis just over the next hill. He never makes us go through a valley and stay there. If we can just pass the test and trust the Lord, there is palm trees and wells of water, water being a type of the Holy Spirit, waiting for us just over the next hill if we can just obey the Lord and trust Him. 12 wells, 70 palm trees. That sounds like a God thing, doesn't it? 12 and 70. All right. Now, you have your Bibles, flip over to Acts chapter 10. We're talking about healing this morning, Jehovah Rapha. And I want to read just a section of Peter's sermon from Acts 10, because I think it really pretty much is one verse. You know, as I was this week praying about this, the Lord just dropped this one verse into my spirit. You know, I had to Google it. I had to look it up. Where is that? I couldn't remember. But I knew the verse, and I knew the Lord wanted us to read this. So we're going to read Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 36. Let me get my page turned here. All right. Verse 36. And the word of the Lord, and the word which God sent to the children of Israel. This is right in the middle of Peter's sermon. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. We're going to stop there. Praise God. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. You know, when Paul was preaching to the churches, he would say things like, my word and my preaching are not with deceiving words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It was that same power that was in Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. How many did he heal? All of them. 50%? No, all of them. How could he do that? He was filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Did he stop being filled with the Holy Ghost and power? No. He's still filled with the Holy Ghost and power. And what did he do? He went about doing good. He didn't go about doing evil. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Say it with me. For God was with him. Amen. God was with him. God's still with him. God is it. He is God in the flesh. And he's coming back very soon. From this verse, we see that all that needed healing, their ailments were oppressions of the devil. Oftentimes when we think of healings, we think of physical things. And there are needs for physical healing. But the source of every ailment is demonic. Amen? God didn't put anything on me or you. The devil did it. He's a liar, the father of lies. And so we see that every need is a need for Jesus to heal those that have an oppression of the devil. Jesus heals physically, and he heals many more opportunities for people to receive healing. Not only is there physical healing, there is depression, loneliness, fear, unforgiveness, and all of these are oppressions of the devil. So we're going to talk about physical healing, but we're going to touch on some of these first. Depression comes from the word depressed, simply stated, it's a feeling of having been pressed down in your spirit. I think most of us know what it feels like. We've probably all had a degree of depression at times. There are some that are more pronounced than others. It's a condition of feeling dejected or heaviness in our heart. It's been described as feeling down, feeling blue, feeling disheartened. It's often a state of desperation, which gives a person a feeling of hopelessness, and it is a close relative to despair, despondency, and discouragement. How do I get past this? How do I get the Lord to heal me of depression? Well, number one, the Lord, say it with me, showed him a tree. The Lord showed him a tree. The first step for healing of depression is getting your eyes on the cross of Jesus Christ. Depressed people have their eyes on themselves. And of course, you can't see a tree, the tree of Christ, with your eyes on yourself. You have to get your eyes on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The second one, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. Jesus is the Word. You not only get your eye on Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you get your eye on the Word. Amen? You read your Bible. You have to stay in the Word. Right? Now, you have to stay in the Word whether you feel like it or not. Right? Oh, I feel like reading my Bible today, but I didn't feel like it yesterday. We read it every day whether we feel like it or not. God can't make you read your Bible. You must force yourself. Years ago, there was a lady at my work. This is a long time ago. I was still working over on Shawnee at the time. She was one of the ladies that worked for me in data entry. She had been a truck driver with her husband. She had a variety of jobs. And at one time, her and her husband had worked at a Baptist boys ranch as counselors. They were good Christian people, Baptist people, loved the Lord. And her son became sick. She had a teenage boy. And he died. And she became very bitter at God. She said, I can't read my Bible. Every time I open it to the miracle of Elijah raising the woman, or I see Jesus raising someone, I get frustrated and say, God, why didn't you heal my son? I knew that there was no way she was going to recover without reading the Word. So I said, I'll make a deal with you. If you will read just the Psalms for a week, and it doesn't help, then you don't ever have to read your Bible again. Now, what kind of preacher would say to someone, you don't have to read your Bible again? See, I knew God would take care of it if you get in the Word. And so I told her, well, don't read 1 Kings. Don't read 2 Kings. Don't read the Gospels. Just read the Psalms. A week later, her whole countenance changed. Her face was glowing. She said, "Thank you, Roger." She said, "I so needed that." You know, you have got to get in the Word. Amen. End of that. And number three, God showed him a tree, Jesus Christ, him crucified. Number two, the Word. Number three, stay in church. That sounds like a no-brainer. But I tell you, there's a lot of people, I'm going through this, and those people, they don't care, or the devil plays head games with you. I'm not even going to church anymore, right? Psalm 73, David said, "Verily I cleanse my heart in vain and wash my hands in innocency. For all day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning, and I will say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. And when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." He's depressed. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end." You see, there is an oppression, a depression that comes on us that oftentimes is broken just by being in the presence of brothers and sisters in the Lord. You come to church, and all of a sudden, that cloud has been hanging over you all week. Bam! You don't feel it in church. And you say, "Boy, I needed that." He said, "Then I understood." It's like that cloud we talked about, that demonic spiritual warfare cloud gets lifted when we come to church. Praise the Lord. Another aspect of healing is loneliness. Of course, the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone, Genesis 2:28. And God says in Psalm 68:6, he puts lonely people in families. So God wants us to have people. No man is an island. We need each other. But loneliness is not simply the state of being alone. I want to say that again. Loneliness is not simply the state of being alone. How many of you guys have ever been in a crowd of people and yet felt alone? We've all felt that way, right? So there is a demonic aspect of loneliness, and it can often be an oppression of the devil, but Jesus has the power to heal that. So here are some steps for you if you are suffering from the oppression of loneliness. Number one, guess what it is? Say it with me. The Lord showed him a tree. There you go. The Lord showed him a tree. The cross of Jesus Christ is going to be number one on all of these. I'll just tell you the answer before you the quiz, okay? Everybody gets 100 on this quiz. The cross of Jesus Christ has to be your main focus. And if you are lonely, Sister Jeannie used to say, loneliness is my best friend if it draws me close to Jesus. And so we focus on Jesus. Again, we get our eyes off ourselves. We get our eyes on the cross of Jesus Christ. Everything that I need was paid for on Mount Calvary. I said that before and I'll say it again. Everything. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace. If you don't have peace in your life, he paid for peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And by his stripes were healed. The Lord showed Moses a tree, and it healed the bitter waters. So the cross of Jesus Christ. Number two, I recognize, we're talking about loneliness, that it is a state of the fall of man. You think Adam felt lonely in the garden? I mean, there's only two of them. And if Eve's off somewhere, I'm alone on the planet. You never heard, Adam wouldn't say that. The degeneration of man, sure, Adam sinned and the fall came, but it just continues to get farther and farther as we get up from Adam, right? Until the state of man, it's like making a copy of a copy of a copy on a copier, right? The quality keeps going down with each generation as we left that perfect state of man. And so Adam probably didn't feel loneliness, but a lot of us do now. So we recognize it's a state of the fall, and a need for someone to help me feel complete is should not be necessary, but oftentimes we feel that way. And Colossians tells us in Colossians 2:10, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. And this is more demonic than many people believe, because if you can be alone, not having to have TV on or music on or people feeling the silence, the devil knows that you might actually hear from God. Have you ever known someone who always has to have a TV on or have to have something on? That's the devil. That's the devil creating this loneliness that I can't stand the deafening quiet. But that's where God whispers to us at, in that still small voice. And so we need to understand that loneliness is not from God. So number one, the Lord showed him a tree. Number two, recognize it's a state of the fall of man. Number three, practice being alone. It's kind of like withdrawals from a narcotic, not that I've ever been addicted to a narcotic. The more you do it, the more you'll be at peace with yourself. I visited with my brother who had heart surgery last week, went up there Friday night, had a good visit. Kaylee and Adam joined me, and we went out to eat. And he had had a girlfriend prior to that weekend, and he told her to leave. I don't think anybody could live with my brother. He's pretty hard-headed. But you know what he said? He said, Raj, well, let me say it like my brother, Raj. That's the way he talks. We're so different. He's the hunter. I'm the nerd. Raj, he said, I like being alone now. He said, I really enjoy it. He said, I feel peace and tranquility. And you know, and that's where God wants us all to be. Not that you have to be alone, but that you are okay being alone with yourself. And that's where God's peace comes. So, the next demonic oppression that often comes is fear. Most fear is not the kind that needs healing. I think we all have fear, and we talked about fear when we did the 23rd Psalm. We are a fearful people. God simply says 365 times, fear not. So, you know, it's not, this is one of those things where God doesn't want to play any games with you. He just says, don't do it. You know, don't be afraid. I know you're afraid, don't be afraid. I know you feel fearful, don't be that way, you know. And as Joyce Meyer says it, we learn to do it afraid. You know, we have those feelings, but my feelings are just my feelings. They are part of my soul, my mind, my will, and emotions. My spirit man is supposed to be in charge of my feelings. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, right? And so my spirit man has to be in control. But there are extreme cases where fear paralyzes people and makes them not functional. And these are the ones that are probably more demonically influenced. Probably none of us ever experienced that. Those are the kind sometimes that people have to be institutionalized. But the point is, Jesus the healer can heal that thing, drive that demon away. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, if you find yourself with an unhealthy fear, number one, the Lord, say it with me, showed him a tree. Get your eyes on the cross of Jesus Christ. He said, I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you. And so, number two, God can and is able to heal unhealthy, fearful tendencies. We'll just leave that at that. I want to spend a little more time on unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a biggie. Proverbs 17:22 tells us a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit drives the bones. And it's been shown that bitter and unforgiving people often end up with bone cancer. There is a correlation. Go figure. Jesus told us, by not forgiving others, our Father in heaven cannot forgive us. And the Old Testament patriarch Joseph certainly had opportunity to be unforgiving when his brothers all conspired to kill him. And had it not been for Judah, they probably would have. But they took him out of that well and sold him to a bunch of flea market maniacs who were passing through and looking for Karen's yard sale. And they sold him to Egypt, where he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, ended up in jail, and did nothing wrong. You see, it's one thing to forgive someone for what they did if you had a part in it. But when you're totally innocent, completely, and they do something to you, you feel justified. And of course, in God's eyes, we're not. The interesting part of Joseph's life is in Genesis 41, after he has risen to the position of prime minister of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, that Pharaoh gives him a woman to be his wife, and he has two children. We usually say them as Ephraim and Manasseh because that's the order that Grandpa changed them to, but it was actually Manasseh that was born first, and then Ephraim. And Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, this is Genesis 41:51, where he said, "He has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." Now, Ephraim means fruitful, which tells me that I will never experience a fruitful life until I can forget what someone has done to me. Amen? And so I need to forgive and I need to forget. And you say, well, I can forgive them, but I'll never forget. Well, then you need to repent. And yes, obviously, we're not God. We can't take it out of our memory. But we can pull weeds and plant flowers, and every time we're tempted to think about that, we can refocus what we think on so that we can gradually, with time, try to forget so that we can experience a fruitful life. Amen. Here's an interesting one I didn't mention earlier. And this is another thing that the Holy Spirit just dropped into me because, in fact, He dropped it into my spirit earlier this week and I forgot it. You always should write those things down. And I forgot it and I was preparing my sermon and I was looking at something totally unrelated and there was that verse that the Lord had dropped in my spirit. So God didn't want me to forget this one. This one is a biggie. I'm going to read Jeremiah 3:21 first. And then we'll explore it. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their ways, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. We often don't think of backsliding as something that needs healing, and yet it does. You know, you say, well, backsliding, that's what someone does. And that's exactly what Israel did. But in our text, God tells them to repent from your backsliding, and then I'll heal your backsliding. You see, it's kind of like a besetting sin. Once I begin to backslide, I begin to get lukewarm. I quit reading my Bible. I quit praying. I spend more time thinking about carnal things than the Lord. And I begin to just slide back. You know, the word backsliding refers to a heifer that drops its neck and tries to go back to get the yoke off. You know, well, the Lord's just been too heavy on me. You know, I just need to just have a break from it all. You know, I just want to go have fun and not think about prophecy or forgiving people or whatever, you know. And so we go down that path, and as we go down that path, we begin to go farther and farther from the Lord. And then someone says, you know, you're getting lukewarm. You're backsliding. You need to repent. And you say, oh, Lord, you're right. I should read my Bible more. I should do this. But the problem is, after you start backsliding, your nature has changed. You don't want to read your Bible anymore. You've gotten lazy and slothful. And so it takes a supernatural healing of your heart by God so that you want to read your Bible again. You follow me? And so you do need to repent of your backsliding, your lukewarmness, your carnality. But you need the Lord to heal your backsliding. You need Him to change your heart. You need Him to rekindle the fire that once burned in your heart for the things of God. Amen? So how do I do that? Number one, the Lord showed him a tree. You get your eyes on Jesus. You say, Lord, I can't do this without me. You cry out to the Lord. Say, Lord, I used to have a passion for your word, and I've gotten cold. And I want to come back, but I don't have the power to do it. The things I want to do, I don't want to do, like Paul said. Heal my backsliding, Lord. Change my heart. And He said, I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm your healer. I can do it. I will do it. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, as I said, we need to talk about physical healing as well. Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him. And with his stripes we're healed. You know, it was customary to always do 40 save one, 39 stripes. No one deserved 40 was the idea of the Roman soldier. And the whip that they used was like a cat of nine tails, and they would put pieces of bone in it. And it would, when they would whip, it would hook in the flesh, and they'd rip the flesh off. But Satan was there that day. It was demonic. And it is reported by extra-biblical writings that it may have been in excess of 40. We don't know. But I believe it was at least 40. I believe the demon said, give him that extra one and make it hurt. And when I stop and I look at the cross of Jesus Christ and I begin to think about what he went through, the crown of thorns for my negative thinking or wrong thinking, they jammed a crown of thorns in his head. For every time I said something I shouldn't say, they ripped his beard or smacked him with a rod or spit in his face. And for all of my sins and all of my sicknesses, they beat him with that whip. And the price for my forgiveness and healing was paid in full on Mount Calvary. Praise God. If you have experienced any of these this morning, I have good news. I read that his name is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that heals. His reputation is secure. He is more than able to heal to the uttermost. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was with him. One other thing I'd like to say. Come on up, ladies, if you would, please. One other thing I'd like to say is we don't often think about a broken heart as being something that needs healing, you know. But Jesus cares about us so much that in Luke 14:8 he opened the scroll and he read from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And if you're brokenhearted this morning, you're here because God wanted you here. Because Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals, is able to heal a broken heart. Amen. Hallelujah. So whether it's a physical healing, it's an emotional healing, or maybe even a lukewarm backsliding healing you need, Jesus died on the tree to bring healing to our lives, to make you whole, every part of you, physically, mentally and emotionally this morning. And Jesus is in the house. I believe he's here to heal this morning. So we're going to do some praying, and then we're going to do some laying on of hands. That's what the scripture says to do. And we're going to ask the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask the power of the Holy Spirit to touch and to heal anyone that needs healing this morning. Do I believe they will be healed? I do. I believe it. What if they don't? They will. God is able. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for each person here. I just want to wait on the Lord for a minute. Let's just wait on the Lord for a minute, shall we? Oh, Jesus, we love you this morning. We love you, Lord. We need you. Spirit of the living God. Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today for each person here. We pray, Lord, that your healing virtue would be on and in and through us this morning. We ask that you open our hearts to those that receive healing, not to feel fearful or intimidated or drawn out as we come forward for healing this morning, but let us just come forward, not looking past flawed pastor and recognizing Jesus is in the house to heal. And Lord, let your healing virtue flow by the power of your Holy Spirit. That is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need physical, emotional, spiritual healing, just come on up here and make a row right here. Anybody at all, come on. Don't be embarrassed. God wants to touch you. He can heal you physically. He can heal a broken heart. Amen. He can heal a broken heart. He can heal lukewarmness. Maybe you haven't been in the Word and you're not having a desire to. Come on, just make a line here. We need a touch from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for each person here. Lord, right now, I just pray, Lord, you said you could heal the broken heart, Lord. And Lord, you know where Lloyd's at right now. I pray, Jesus, that you just touch him and heal that broken heart, Lord. Lord, just wrap his heart in the balm of heaven. Give him supernatural peace, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, I thank you for Eddie. Jesus, we ask this morning that you touch my sister in her body. I thank you, Lord, that Jesus, that you went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with you. We know, Lord, that you're still here. God is still with you. Our command to lay hands on the sick and they will recover, Lord, walking in obedience to your word. Asking you right now by faith in the tree, the cross of Jesus Christ, that you touch my sister and heal her this morning in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we give you all of the praise and all of the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, you know the needs of my sister, be it physical, spiritual, emotional. Touch her in her body, Lord. Touch her in her mind and her spirit. Heal her. Give her supernatural grace. Lord, it's your hand, your nail-scarred hand that makes a difference. Touch my sister this morning in a supernatural way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Father, I thank you for my brother Rick. I pray, Lord, that you would just again begin to do a work in his life. You're the healer. The healer's in the house. It's not my hand that heals. It's yours, Lord. Touch my brother. Renew, revive, restore. Lord, have your way in his life. Fill us all with your Holy Spirit. Lord, give us great unction through the power of God in the name of Jesus. And all the church said, amen. And amen. Yes, please. Absolutely. Okay, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my sister, Lord. We lift her up to you this morning. We ask that you touch her. Lord, you know she's had many physical challenges as well. We pray your healing touch. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are our healer. You are her healer. Lord, just stretch out that nail-scarred hand of Calvary. Touch my sister right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We look to the tree. We look to the tree, the cross of Jesus Christ, where our healing was paid in full. And we receive that healing this morning, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise and the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your touch right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And Lord, we lift up our sister Nola, Lord, to you. Thank you, Lord, for her ministry. Thank you for birth of these ladies' ministry. Lord, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that every infirmity, every sickness, be it physical, mental, emotional, whatever it may be, must flee in Jesus' name. Our eyes are on the prize. Our eyes are on the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, you paid for it all on Mount Calvary. And Lord, right now, by faith in Jesus' name, we receive total and complete healing. We receive it, Lord, this morning by the power of God. For you, Lord, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with you, Jesus. And we thank you for that verse. We stand on it this morning that you're our healer, Jehovah Rapha. You're our healer. And Lord, we are healed. In Jesus' name, we are healed. In Jesus' name this morning, we are healed. In Jesus' name this morning. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, ladies. Lead us in a little worship before we break. What Jehovah, he is Jehovah, yeah.
Thank you,
all right, I gotta.
Let it rip.
He is Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, the God Almighty, the bomb of Gilead, the rock. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I am, the God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah. Provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah, the Son He sent to you has testified of Him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God. Jehovah, the God. hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Lord God Almighty, He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is Jehovah, the God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the Balm of Gilead, the Rock of Ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee.
Well, I'm glad I came to church today. How about you? Praise the Lord. God bless you guys. Give someone a big hug before you go. Amen.